This morning, we have with us back Pastor Sim. He is worshiping in Bethesda, Pasir Ris, and he is still working with our daily bread. Today's message is, wow, watch our words. And it's time to him.
Morning. I think we have testing. Okay. Can you hear me all right? I think if you have traveled overseas, you know that before you board a plane, you have to go through a number of security checks. Your bags are x-rayed. You walk through a metal detector, or they use a metal detector. Sometimes you walk through a body scanner to see if you're carrying any dangerous weapon, the gun, the knife, or anything that can be used to harm people. This morning, as you come into the sanctuary, I'm very sure that nobody did a security check on you. But I want to tell you that you have brought in a very dangerous weapon with you into this sanctuary. What is this weapon? How many of you think that I'm talking about the Bible? Nah, it's not God's word. It is your word. Your tongue is a very dangerous weapon that can harm people. The Japanese have this proverb. The tongue is but 3 inches long, yet it can kill a person 6 feet high. A 3-inch long tongue can kill a person 6 feet high. When God created us, He gave us a gift that He gave to no one else. He gave us the gift of speech that He gave to no other creatures. Only you and I have the ability to speak words to communicate with one another. Animals do not have this ability. Animals do not have the gift of speech. And this is the one aspect of being made in God's image. The ability to communicate. Because in Genesis, we read that God spoke. And the entire world was created. The power of words. We are studying the book of Proverbs topically. And we look at some key verses. What these key verses are saying about that topic. Last week, we looked at the Proverbs-driven life and how Proverbs should drive us and help us live a life of generosity, of humility, of compassion, and of contentment. This morning, we look at the book of Proverbs and what it has to say about speech, our words, or the use of our tongues. What we say to each other. Proverbs actually has a lot to say about the use of our tongues. One scholar counted the number of words, the number of verses in Proverbs alone that speak about the use of our tongues, 151 verses in the book of Proverbs deal with the use of our words. And that's over 31 chapters, which means that on average, there are about 5 verses in each chapter of Proverbs that deals with the use of our tongue. According to a survey in 2007, there was a survey done. And this was a survey done on men and women. Okay. It has been said that men speaks very little words and women has more words to say. That's the belief, right? But this survey says that both men and women speak about 16,000 words a day. 16,000 words a day. That means by the end of tonight, when you rest, you will have uttered 16,000 words. And they did the analysis of the 16,000 words, and on average, about 800 different words. That means you only have a vocabulary of about 800 words a day, but you speak 16,000 words. When you speak about, when you use 16,000 words a day, it is no surprise, it will not be surprising that you will say the wrong thing. Because there are so many words that we can use. The important lesson about the use of our words is found in Proverbs 18:21. And I've given it in different versions. The book of Proverbs is very difficult to translate from the original Hebrew. And there are a lot of many scribble differences. And that's why different English versions sometimes give you slightly different nuance of the same meaning. Okay. For example, in 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death. And those who love it will eat its fruit. So the key verse upon which all the other 150 proverbs are centered upon or built upon is this verse, that our tongue has the power of life and death, and we who love it will eat its fruit. Now, what does that mean? It means that our words are very powerful. Our words comfort or curse people. You can either comfort people or you can use it to curse people. Those of us who are drivers, okay, when people cut into your path, okay, you curse under your breath. Why that guy drive like that? Words honor, God, words heal, words can help people. Or our words can humiliate, hurt, or harm people. Our words are either beneficial tools or dangerous weapons. They can give life, or they can take away life. In the Message version, words kill, words give life. They are either poison or fruit. You choose. In other words, it is within your ability to how you want to use words. And you have to choose carefully whether you use it as a poison or as a fruit. You have to decide how you want to use your words. Proverbs 18:21 is a summary statement that undergirds the whole premise of what Proverbs has to say about our tongues. And what this verse is telling us is to be wow, watch our words, so that by what we say, we give life and not bring about death. Solomon used, the writer of Proverbs, used various metaphors to remind us that our words are dangerously destructive weapon. First, he likened our words to be sharp swords that will cut people down. In Proverbs 12:18, the words of the reckless pierce like swords. Or in the New Living Translation, some people make cutting remarks, but the tongue of the wise bring healing. All we need to do is think about this past week, how we speak. Think of a time when you spoke the right words at the right time. Think of someone who did that to you. When you are down and discouraged, someone come alongside and just say the right word and you are encouraged. And then think about time when someone come to you straight to your face and spoke recklessly and carelessly. That someone wasn't careful in the use of his words or the choice of his words. In the Good News Translation, Proverbs 12:18 says this: thoughtless words can wound deeply as any sword. And the problem with deep wounds is this: It is not just an abrasion of your skin. Deep wounds don't heal easily. It takes a long time for deep wounds to heal. And some will never recover from a deep wound. Critical words pierce deep into your very soul and your very heart, like a sharp shot, and many of us don't recover from that deep wound. So the first metaphor is that our words are dangerous like a sword. The second metaphor is that our words are destructive like a wildfire. In Proverbs 16:27, like a scorching fire, a scoundrel plots evil, and on their lips, it is like a scorching fire. Mind you, if you use destructive words, Proverbs says you are a scoundrel. And your words destroy a way in the way that like a scorching fire would destroy. You know how a wildfire spread? In a wildfire, it spread very fast. And not only did it not spread very fast, it also spread very far. Scriptures, the metaphor used is not of a simple fire. It is a scorching fire. And if you look at the meaning of the word scorching, it is a terrorizing fire. There is terror in your words. And you know that a scorching fire is a very difficult to control fire, and is a very difficult control. It is a very difficult fire to put out. And it is destructive. It burns. It destroys everything in its path. Our words, once spoken, is out there like a scorching fire. It is uncontrollable. You can't control it once it's out, and it will cause extensive damage. When people say nasty things about us, and we have that spoken to us quite often, when people say critical things about us, we respond. I'm sure you have heard of this. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, right? We are very familiar with that. Children always say that. This seems to be a good way to help us cope with critical words, nasty words that is meant to hurt us. But I want to say that this is a false philosophy, because you and I know that this is not true. Broken bones can heal. But words spoken will break our hearts. Unlike broken bones, broken hearts sometimes don't heal. And if they do heal, they heal, it takes a long time to heal. Watch our words. Wow. Words kill. Words give life. They are either poison or fruit. You choose. That's how Eugene Peterson translates Proverbs 18:21. A reminder that we are to watch what we say. I want to look at some destructive words that we need to be careful of. I just want to highlight a few. There are a lot more. As I said, every five verses in the book of, in every chapter of Proverbs is a verse dealing with our words. Okay, there's 150 verses to look at actually, but we just want to look at some categories. First of all, destructive speech, gossip. Top of our list. You look at 18, verse 8, or 26, 22, verse 6, Proverbs 18, verse 8. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inner parts. That's why broken hearts seldom heal, because it goes deep into you. If you look at the New Living Translation, it is translated, rumors are dainty morsels that sink deep into one's heart. Gossips, rumors.
untrue or unverified facts. And Solomon used a foot imagery, a foot metaphor to describe what gossip is. And in that sense, gossip is a delicacy. A delicacy is a choice morsel, a cultivated taste, which means that you cultivate your taste for gossiping. And that explains why people love to hear and share gossip. It is tasty. It is delicious. It fits our inner wickedness to hear something about other people, especially if it's evil and untrue. Like digested food, it goes into your inner organs, it goes into your stomach. And what goes in will affect who you are. It will impact your innermost thoughts. You will remember these gossips for a long time. It's not easily got rid of. And gossip is also addictive. Because it's the cultivated taste, it is addictive. In Proverbs 17:4, wrongdoers, from the New Living Translation, wrongdoers eagerly listen to gossip. Liars pay close attention to slander. We are interested to find out the latest scandal that is going on with someone else. And we pay close attention to those things. And there's one more thing about gossips. If you feed on gossip, you will crave for more. In Proverbs 20:19, a gossip betrays a confidant, so avoid anyone who talks too much. Here, the book of Proverbs, Solomon tells us to avoid a gossiper. Remember this. That's the reason why you should avoid a gossiper. Because the one who gossips to you will soon gossip about you. He can't help it. He will gossip. And if he can gossip about A, he will soon gossip about you. And that's the reason why there's wisdom in cutting yourself away from such a person. There are some more other verses about gossip. In fact, the book of Proverbs have a lot of things to say about gossip. And I've listed for you there. Please go and read it. But the key lesson that we want to take away from destructive word is this, that a gossip is very destructive and it is a cultivated taste. If you begin to like and hear it, you will soon want to hear it more. Second thing about destructive word is lies. Last week, we looked at Proverbs 6:16. There are six things that God hates, seven that are detestable to him. 40 eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Now, what you need to understand and see in what we see in chapter 6 of 16 onwards is this, that of all these things that God hate, three of them has got to do with lies. And that's a very serious list. Of all the things that God hates, three of these six and seven things have to do with how we use our words. A lying tongue in verse 17, a false witness in verse 19, a person who uses his words to stir up conflict in the community. And that's the reason why lying are the very things that God hates. In Proverbs 12:22, the Lord detests lying lips. but he delights in those who tell the truth. Now I want to pause here and look at this whole thing about lying and gossiping, because they are connected, they are related. Because part of the juiciness of gossip is that they are untruth, lies. And we are now today exposed, we have in our hands mobile technology. And mobile technology has changed the way we gossip and how we spread lies. Falsehood, fake news. And we just forward. We do so on Twitter, in Instagram, in Facebook, in WhatsApp. There is so much fake news out there, falsehood, false information. And we need to be careful that we do not be part of this vicious cycle of spreading gossip and lies. What do you do when you receive a WhatsApp message about someone else? You read it and you find it so juicy that finally something is being said about your pastor. You forward it to your rest of your cell group. I want to suggest this. Every time you receive a social media posting sent to you by anyone and is about someone else, if you have to read it, of course, then thereafter delete it. That's it. We cannot be part and parcel of this whole vicious cycle of spreading gossip and lies. And if you find that there is useful information inside there, make sure that there are no personal attacks on anyone else. Even if it's true, it stops in your phone. And that's what I would do. I will not forward it to the next person, even if the facts are true. Because what may be news or what we think is news becomes gossip when it's used for the wrong reason, to tear down another person. Flattery is another set of destructive words. Most of us enjoy flattery, people praising us. We love it. Because it boosts our standing, our ego. But you must understand that those who use flattery do smooth talk. And Proverbs 29 verse 5 in the New Living Translation, to flatter friends is to lay a trap for their feet. Because the one who flatter you may criticize you behind your back in the next breath when you are no longer in front of him or her. A flatterer is one who publicly praises you. In front of you, he praises you, and then he uses a dagger and stabs you on the back. Impulsive words is another one. We won't look at it. You know what impulsive words are. It is words that we speak without engaging our mind. We burst out in a rush of emotions. Those are impulsive words. And impulsive words will normally be angry words as well. Because we don't think. We don't watch our words before we speak. I will leave it to you to look at those verses because they are very straightforward about impulsive words and angry words. Next, I want to look at, again, based on Proverbs 18:21. Proverbs 18:21 give us two sides. One is words that destroy, and the other side is the words that give life. And we want to look at something more positive this morning. Words that give life. We look at what the key verse says from the New Living Translation, Proverbs 18:21. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap its consequences. In other words, your words have consequences, and you have to live with what you say. We have looked at destructive words that can harm and hurt people. Now we look at constructive words that will bring healing and help others, that will encourage people, that will bring life to other people. And again, the book of Proverbs used metaphors to describe our useful words, our words that give life. First of all, it is likened to a fountain. Solomon says that constructive words are like a fountain. In Proverbs 10:11, the word of the godly are a life-giving fountain. The words of the wicked conceal violent intentions. In chapter 13, verse 14, the teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. And Proverbs 18:4, the words of the mouth are deep waters, but the fountain of wisdom is a rushing stream. The words of a wise person who speaks constructive words are like waters from a rushing stream, fresh and refreshing water. Again, in using this metaphor of a fountain, we know that all life depends on water. We can survive many days without food, but for a human person, it only takes you 3 days to die if you don't have water. 3 days without water, we will die of dehydration. And when we speak constructive words, it is like giving fresh, cooling spring water on a hot day. The right words spoken at the right time, in the right way, is like a fountain of life to those who receive it, and it will promote and sustain life. So the first picture in the book of Proverbs about constructive words is that it is a fountain of life. The second picture is health food. It is likened to health food. In Proverbs 16:24, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Or in the New Living Translation, kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. Your kind words are like honey, sweet to your heart, to your soul, and healthy for the body. You see, in the ancient world, honey is a much sought after food. And honey is used for its healing properties. And today, honey is also used as a health food and a healing ointment. Okay, if you have sore throat, you swallow manuka honey. You're supposed to soothe your throat. When we talk tenderly, when we talk kindly, and when we talk graciously, our words become priceless, like health food, which provides healing to bruised hearts and hurt souls. Our words are like health food that help people, sick people, to recover. And these people who are sick have been sick, mixed by dangerous, death-threatening words. A fountain, a healthy food, and a custom-made precious jewelry. That's what our constructive words are like. In Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in the setting of silver. Like a gold ring or ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. In Proverbs 10:20, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. And so, our words are like a tradesman, an artisan, a jewelry artisan, who carefully put silver and precious stones together into a handcrafted jewelry to be worn and to be seen and to be appreciated. It is our words, our constructive words are like custom-made, carefully crafted jewelry, specially made for the hearer. Balanced, suitable, just right, beautiful in their appearance, and considered valuable as gold and silver. And that's what constructive words are. Custom-made precious jewelry. So that's the metaphor that the scriptures use for our constructive words. Now, what are the constructive words that we can think of? Encouraging words. You need to know that today, people around you are discouraged. It could be a health issue, it could be a financial issue, it could be a job issue, it could be a husband-wife issue, it could be a family issue. People around you are discouraged and in many sense defeated. They don't need you to add on to their problems. What we need to learn is that God can use our words to breathe life and to encourage the discouraged. In Proverbs 15:4, the soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. The soothing tongue, encouraging words, is a tree of life to these people. Again, we pause and ask ourselves, this past week, from Monday to Saturday, how many of your words that you spoke these words that you spoke this week are actually encouraging words? That you said something encouraging to someone. Why don't you try this? For every encouraging word that you speak to someone this coming week, give yourself 10 cents into your piggy bank. Okay? See how much do you collect in your piggy bank after 1 week? Do you have a lot of coins in your piggy bank because you spoke a lot of encouraging words to people? One way to find out whether you are an encourager or a discourager is to see whether people come to you when they are discouraged. If a person who is discouraged specifically call you up to talk about his or her problem, you can know that you are an encourager because you have been sought. But if nobody call you or talk to you about their problems, then it would be a good sign that you are a discourager more than an encourager. Are you a sought-after person to whom someone can talk to and seek advice from? Let's make it a purpose. Make it a deliberate intention to say something encouraging to someone in your conversation today. Gentle, persuasive words are constructive words. A gentle answer, Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but the harsh words stirs up anger. When you are dealing with someone who is angry at you, his temperature is already raised. no need for you to raise your own temperature. Because when both of you are hot, your words become even hotter. Proverbs' advice is that you give a gentle answer to turn away wrath. Those of you who are into Chinese Kung Fu, it's just like Tai Chi, you know. It's soft Kung Fu to deal with outright violent Kung Fu. And scriptures tells us to go Tai Chi with our words. Soft answer to someone who's coming hard and vigorous and hot on you. Graceful, forgiving words. Someone who has hurt you. Yes, we are not in the mood to forgive, but it will help, really, to build up that relationship. If you say, I can understand why you say those nasty words to me. Something gentle, something encouraging, something graceful. I'm not suggesting that you overlook somebody's sin. If someone sinned against you, we have the responsibility to confront that person according to Matthew chapter 18. But how we go about that confrontation is what Proverbs is guiding us. Graceful, forgiving words in leading someone who's not doing right to do what is right. In the whole scheme of confrontation, we want to give life, not take life. The problem with our confrontation of someone we've done wrong is we are out there to destroy, to vanquish that fella. Let's do so with gracious, forgiving words. Truthful words are constructive words. There are a lot more scripture verses. Please take time to read them. We have now looked at constructive words. We have looked at destructive words. And Proverbs 18:21 tells us that we have a choice to make on how we want to speak. Watch our words. Words kill, words give life. You are either poison or fruit. You choose. Eugene Peterson translate Proverbs 18:21. You choose whether you want to dispense poison or you want to dispense fruit. You have to understand that our words can become fruit or poison for us as well. Because there will be times when our words go full circle and you have to eat your words. And if your words are poison, because you dish out poison, you will have to eat your own poison subsequently. Proverbs 21:23 is good advice for us. Wow, watch our words, because Proverbs 21:23 in the New Living Translation, watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut and you'll stay out of trouble. So we have to choose carefully, and then now we are told to think carefully before we speak. Think carefully before you speak. Watch your tongue, and if you cannot say constructive words, keep your mouth shut. That's what Proverbs 21:23 advises us. Look again at Proverbs 15:28. Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the godly thinks carefully before speaking. The mouth of the wicked overflows with evil words. So think before you speak. The problem with many of us is we have got no control over our tongues. We don't hit the pause button. We just let go. before you speak, especially in a very heated and difficult situation, take a deep breath. And then, if you're a driver, engage your gears, engage your brains before you go downhill. Those of us who drive mountainous roads, you know that when you're coming downhill, you go on the low gear, right? Because if you don't do on the low gear and you press the brake too hard, your brake will break, bleep, bleep, and then you lose control of your brake because it's heated up. And so careful drivers will engage low gears when coming down a mountain. And that's good advice for us when we are speaking. Engage low gear in your brains. Don't be too fast to speak. Choose carefully how you want to use your words, whether you want to destroy or you want to construct. Think before you speak. There are times when there is no need to speak. There are times it is best not to answer someone when there is pressure for you to respond. Because there are times when no reply is the best reply at that moment. Because when you do reply, it will be the wrong reply. And because of modern technology, we can be so quick on our fingers. You get a bad message from a friend, a bad email, and your anger, your temperature rises up, and you dish out an angry response, and you hit the send button. I make it a point never to reply email within that same hour. I look at the email. If it's a sensitive email, I will sit on it for one more day. I will do so tomorrow. If it's an urgent reply is needed, I will still sit on it for a while. An hour. If it comes in the morning, I'll wait until evening before I leave for home, I will just send the reply. Give myself a space of hours to work out a reply. Under pressure, we have the greatest propensity to give the wrong reply. In Proverbs 26:4, don't answer the foolish arguments of fools, or you become as foolish as they are. In other words, no tit for tat. If it's an angry email, you don't have to give an angry email response. If an angry WhatsApp message, you don't have to reply the way it has come to you. There are times when no reply is the best reply for that moment. The fourth approach would be this: talk less, you will sin less. Proverbs 10:19. Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. In Proverbs 13:3, those who control their tongue will have a long life. You live longer. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. How true it is, especially when husband and wife quarrel. And we do quarrel. Be careful of what you say next when husband and wife are quarreling, because you will regret what you say if you don't keep your mouth shut. I like Proverbs 17:28. Proverbs 17:28, even fools are taught to be wise when they keep silent. With their mouth shut, they seem intelligent. And sometimes we need to look intelligent by keeping quiet. The Quakers, a holiness movement that was started by George Fox in the 17th century, has this maxim when it comes to speaking. Never break the silence unless you can improve on the silence. Don't break the silence unless you can improve on that silence. He was attributed to Abraham Lincoln, who said this: it is better to remain silent and taught a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. And that's what Proverbs 17:28 is all about. Do you know why someone has this very unique explanation about the way in which our head is being configured? We have 2 ears, 1 mouth. And he gives this very interesting explanation why we are given 2 ears and 1 mouth. Because God wants us to listen twice as much before we speak. Can you imagine you have 2 mouths speaking and words come out differently? 2 ears so that we can listen better, and 1 mouth so that we can speak with singularity and clearly. We need to listen twice as much as we speak. That's why we have 2 ears and 1 mouth. That's what this writer says. Look at the Bible verses that I've given to you. We need to listen more, particularly James 1:19. James understands our propensity to speak and to misuse God's gift for us, the gift of our words, the gift of our tongues. And James chapter 1, verse 19 says, understand this, New Living Translation. My dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the kind of righteous life that God desires of us. When you're angry, your words will definitely be wrong. And when your words are wrong, you cannot live the life that God wants you to live, the holy life and the godly life. A wise owl lives in the oak. There's this poem that I get to know when I was younger. A wise owl lives in an oak. The more he heard, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Why can't we be like the wise old bird? Listen more, speak less. And when we do speak, speak constructive words. Set a guard over my mouth. The Chinese has this, fu shui nan zhou. Words spoken cannot be unspoken. Just like an email that is sent out cannot be retrieved. You can delete it from your drive, but it's still out there somewhere in cyberspace. Same with Twitter, same with WhatsApp, same with all your social media. Once the words goes out, it is there to haunt you for the rest of your life. Because words spoken cannot be unspoken. Once they leave us, there is no way in which you're going to collect it back. And therefore, you need to be careful in what you say. Ask the Lord for the right words to say. In Psalms 141, set a guard over my mouth. Lord, keep watch over the door of my lips. Psalms 141 verse 3 is a prayer to God to help us guard what we say. Set a guard over my mouth. How does God set a guard over our mouth? Someone quite humorously explained this verse this way. I don't think it's the best way to do it, but I thought it was very humorous. He says our tongue is behind our teeth. And when you grit your teeth, it is locked in our mouth. And that's the first layer of guarding our tongue. Because when you speak, you have to open your teeth. You have to spread wide your teeth. But if you grit your teeth, you lock your tongue. But that's not all the guard that God provided. He also gives us a mouth. And when you close your mouth, your tongue cannot be used. So in terms of our physiology, we actually have two physical guards over our tongue, our teeth and our mouth. And so that prayer, God set a guard over my mouth, is actually an answered prayer if you look at your physical arrangement of your tongue. But I think this goes more beyond the physical control and physical hindrances of our teeth and our mouth. It is asking God to watch our hearts so that we do not say the wrong words. And Jesus says, from the heart flows evil and wickedness. I want to close with Ephesians 4:25, where Paul encourages us to watch out for destructive words and to use constructive words. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. For we are all members of one body. And in verse 29, do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. A few things for us to take note of Ephesians 4:29. Do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Unwholesome talk, anything that destroys, anything that curses people, anything that is not of a blessing to others, but only what is helpful for building up others. In other words, what I want to say, I want to be of help to you, to build you up, and to benefit everyone who listens. Do not let unwholesome talk suggest that it is within our control. How we use our tongues, how we use God's gift to us, the gift of speech. As in any of God's gift, it can be used for its right purpose, or it can be abused and misused. And the Proverbs-driven life encourages us to live a life where no unwholesome talk will come up from our mouth. To live a life of construction and of giving of life. And that's what we desire to do. Let's all pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your grace to us. And thank you for the gift of speech by which we use to praise you. And at the same time, we use to curse people. It cannot be, Father, that the same tongue is used for two different purposes, two entirely opposite purposes. Help us, Father, to use our tongues not only to praise you, but to encourage people so that, Lord, they will be helped and that, Lord, they will be built up. And you know that, Lord, this is our desires. In Jesus' name we pray.